the Lord has been stirring up a new word this morning. And whenever this happens, I feel very nervously excited. I'm going to tell you something that I don't normally tell people if it were to happen. I don't have any notes this morning. Because I felt like the Holy Spirit highlighted something completely different than what I had told God he was going to talk on. I know I'm playing jokes in that sense, but I'm being very serious. It's funny when the Holy Spirit says, I want you to preach on this. And I go, yes. And I'm going to work that in my previously scheduled plan. And I just feel like the Holy Spirit is like, no. Why don't you trust me this morning? I was like, darn it. Duh. But I want you to turn to Exodus chapter 16 this morning. And what I believe are things that the Holy Spirit is highlighting is something about three categories: the Word of God, prayer, and unity of the saints. These three things I believe the Holy Spirit is highlighted to me. And I'm going to just trust that this is a God word because I was not thinking about this. I do see how this fits in this course of discipleship because we're going to be talking about the Word of God. We're going to be talking about prayer. And these are both disciplines that are important in our Christian maturity and development. This is why churches and in Christian circles, we talk a lot about prayer. We talk a lot about the Bible. Anybody that's a Christian that doesn't talk about prayer or the Bible, question their Christianity. I mean, because there's no other way in which we get to see the revelation of God except for through his word. So, general revelation is beautiful. Romans tells us that no one is going to be without an opportunity to know Jesus because of the world creation that God made. So God created the world. So there's just something that he's going to do. But specific revelation, the word of God and the prophets, the apostles, these things, there is something miraculous about all that. This isn't just a bunch of men that came together and wrote something down. And then later on, a bunch of Catholics said, these are the ones we're going to keep and these are the ones we're going to throw away. If you ever doubt the canon or the authenticity of God, what you're really doubting is God's ability to inspire and work through mankind. So let's just expand our expectation for God and just believe that when God wants to specifically reveal, we can take that as gospel. So the word of God is important, and we've got to talk about the word of God. It's his specific revelation. And Jesus has said he exalts his word even above his name. So some of us say, I love the name of Jesus. Well, why don't we also say, I love the Word of God, the actual Bible, even more? Because Jesus himself says, I exalt this even above my name. Wow. The Word of God is powerful. But then we get to this topic about prayer, and it's amazing to me, but I've come up with a new wonderful phrase. I attribute it to that philosopher Jelly Roll. A singer, a country rapper guy or something, I don't even know. I really don't know many of his songs, but I sure do know that one. I only talk to God when I need a favor is the main phrase. Prayer is often either a scheduled complaint service or a scheduled request session, or it's a life preserver when all hell breaks loose. And these are the things that most of us understand of as prayer. But Jesus taught prayer as a continual thing, a lifestyle of living and breathing. Breathing in the presence of the Lord and breathing out. And you've got to walk in step with the Holy Spirit and commune with the Lord all the time. Amen. And that does not mean you don't take times of specific prayer and intercession, pulling away from everyone else and just being alone with your heart presented before the Lord in prayer and thinking about the word and meditating on the word and turning that into prayer, either adoration and glory in his name or requests, but never without thanksgiving. We're supposed to pack all this in with an acknowledgement of God's word. And so prayer is something that is wonderful, and it is the number one neglected thing next to the word of God. All of us have access to translations. on our phone and multiple Bibles probably in our house, but very few of us pick that Bible up and live daily by the Word of God. A lot of us have access because of what Jesus has done to come boldly before God's throne and petition Him and talk with Him, but we never feel like we're good enough to come before Him. Why? Because Satan hates people who pray. So he's constantly plaguing us with thoughts that pull us away from that freedom. But then the unity of the church, the unity of the brothers and sisters in Christ, all hell hates unified Christians. They hate churches that are together and tight. They hate relationships built around Jesus at the center. They hate anything. Demons hate unity and peace because they know where there's unity and peace, when people lift their hands in worship, God commands a blessing. That's not an option. He says, bless, favor, pour out. So whenever there's unity, there is going to be an open window from heaven, and God is going to begin to just abundantly provide, do all kinds of things to direct, and all of this hinges on unity. And so we see even in our day right now, Satan is in an all-out attack against unity, and he's specifically using fear and hatred right now to just come and drive great wedges between people. So if it's not skin color, if it's not background, if it's not religious doctrines and dogmas, then it's something else. It's offenses, it's hurts. And so instead of unity, we have familiarity with bitterness and regrets and grudges that we hold on each other. Instead of forbearing and overlooking and letting go and releasing all the stuff that promotes unity. And it's amazing to me how we don't draw a connection between bitterness, resentment, an unforgiveness, a harshness, violence, and all that stuff, and unanswered prayers. Because Jesus has pointed out, if you have a bitter spirit, and the apostles pointed out, if you have an unforgiving spirit, even towards, say, a spouse, God's not listening to your prayers. What? All of this stuff overlaps. It really does. It's like spaghetti. You look at one spot, but it connects to another, and it's just a big old mess of doctrinal awesomeness. So when you are bitter and resentful, you're actually hindering your prayers. I don't want my prayers hindered. I want miracles. I want God to do great things. Well, then let stuff go. Be gentle. Be kind. Forgive. Overlook. Give mercy. You know? Go ahead and tell someone, I'm going to give you mercy. Yeah, I'm gonna give you mercy too. You get some mercy too. Everybody gets some mercy. I'm gonna release. I'm gonna just not count things against you. I'm gonna count all of the things you might do to hurt me. I'm gonna just say that that bill has been covered by Jesus. Okay? And I believe these things are so important because it's in these three where we see God grow us into a maturity that really the world is aching for. This world is aching for the sons and daughters of God to stand tall in Bible, in prayer, and in unity. Amen. 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 So as the Lord began to kind of unpack this to my heart, I went straight to Exodus 16. In Exodus 16, we can read in this entire chapter a very profound kind of scenario. We have the children of Israel. They have just come out of Egypt, and the Holy Spirit, God is working in their midst to do some miraculous things. In chapter 16, it says here that they journeyed from Elim, and all the congregation of the children of Israel came to the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after they departed from the land of Egypt. Boy, not even quite 2 weeks, really, or 2 months, really. The whole congregation of the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron in this wilderness. And the people of Israel began to say to them, oh, that we had died in the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt. When we sat by those pots of meat and we ate bread until we were full. And I guess you guys have just brought us out into this wilderness to kill the entire assembly with hunger. Everybody understand the scenario that's happening right here? They're having a struggle in their Christian journey, and the first thing they think is going to remedy it is go back to bondage and sin. Their old familiar lifestyle. Every one of us, if you've been walking with the Lord, has felt this at some point. Oh man, the minute I gave my life over to the Lord, all hell breaks loose. Everything was going great, and then Jesus comes in, and then, you know, and it just sometimes this is the way it feels. And in spite of hearing other things, you know, just turn your life over to Jesus. It'll be great. You'll be like, you know, My Little Ponies and Poop Rainbows. And, you know, and it's going to be wonderful. But reality is there's still sickness and disease in the world. There's still conflict and problems. There's stuff you don't understand. And the enemy of our souls is active to try and do all kinds of crazy stuff to torment our minds and torment our bodies. And then we realize we're in a fight. When did this happen? The minute you stopped going with the flow towards destruction and you said, I'm going to start swimming upstream and follow Jesus. Narrow is that door, and no one else was really going to find that except for those that have been marked and called by God. Come follow me. And the minute you do, you'll feel the current pushing against you. And you're going to have to learn to fight and swim and grow some muscles. And those muscles are in three areas. What are they? Bible,
prayer,
and unity. Big hug. I didn't plan the motions, but they work, okay? They work. And so that just came to me right there. That's how smart I am. And gosh, I hope this message turns out good. And so they're complaining and they're looking backwards and thinking idyllic about their bondage. And in these moments, it's in verse 4, the Lord says to Moses, behold, I'm going to rain bread from heaven for you. Wow. This is the verse that stood out to me this morning. I'm going to rain bread from heaven for you. I'm going to rain down bread from heaven for you. I don't know what that means in your heart right now when you hear that. When I hear that, I have all of these memories of prayers that I'm holding on to. God, God. And I'm just now imagining, it's like, and now all of a sudden it's like it's floating down from heaven. That answer to my prayer or the supply that is needed for this or that or provision in some other way like wisdom and direction or something. But basically what was lacking I see now floating right down from the presence of God into my little hands. And I'm just like, yes, God, exactly what I need. Some of you need strength and you're praying for it. And God's going to open up heaven and bread's going to come down and give you strength. But some of you need something else. And God's going to open up heaven and it'll rain down on you. And I really do see that. In this verse, I look at it and it says, Moses says, behold, this is what Jesus said, or God said to Moses, I'm going to rain bread from heaven for you. And the people shall go out and gather a quotient of that every day, their quota, that I may then test them whether they will walk in my law or not. Now comes the teeth of this. The blessings of God are often the greatest tests that we face. I really do believe that too. It's amazing to me how times of real difficulty, we don't recognize how much blessing is coming in that until afterwards. And then you realize afterwards, wrapped up in that horrible desert, so to speak, with hunger pains and all these other things, and the testings that I faced, you worked something into my bones that I would have never imagined. You worked into me a relationship with you, the living God, that every morning you would supply and every day I would learn to trust in you without holding back anything. I will trust in you every single day. That's what you taught me in all of that desert. I thought I just needed bread. And you said, no, I want you to learn to live with me and to know me and to trust me. So I'm not going to give you just bread. I'm going to give you the whole deal, the relationship and all the strength that you need to fight the battles that are in front of you. I'm going to teach you how to war. I'm going to teach you how to survive in the desert. But I'm going to test you to see if you're going to stick it out or are you going to be chicken butt and try and go back to Egypt. And most of us will wrestle with this at different times in varying degrees. Anybody know what that wrestling's like? You know what you believe. You know what you believe. I believe that. I believe that. I believe that. But then part of you is going, I don't know. I'm telling myself I believe it, but I don't know. You're wrestling and you're growing a muscle, and God wants you to feel that tension so that you grow something that is so strong it will sustain you in the middle of a desert. It is not a blessing to be in pampered blessing and comfort and ease without any war. It's not a blessing. Why? That's where laziness grows. That's where a false sense of security is birthed. That's where selfishness is free to run. But boy, when we have that threat, and it forces us to focus, and it forces us to rise up and do what we know we should do, but we don't do it in times of ease. But in those desert times, boy, we'll do it. It's either DC Talk or Toby Mac that wrote that song about people who got to learn the hard way. And there's a phrase, I don't even remember the song. It's like, people got to learn the hard way. Some people got to find out for themselves. And I think I'm one of those people. And I believe every one of us are those kinds of people. We've got to learn the hard way. If we don't, then we would have been learning in the easy times. But I'll tell you, America has not learned in the easy times. But we're not unique. Every people group in history doesn't learn in the easy times. They learn in the hard times. So they eat, and they were going to gather bread every single day. And Moses and Aaron tell them all how to do this. Verse 6, it says, Moses and Aaron said to all the children of Israel, at evening you're going to know that the Lord has brought you out of the land of Egypt. In the morning you're going to see the glory of the Lord. It says, for he hears your complaints against the Lord. But what are we that you complain against us? Also, Moses said, this shall be seen when the Lord gives you meat to eat in the evening and in the morning, bread to be to the full, for the Lord hears your complaints which you make against him. And that are we. And what are we? Your complaints are not against us, but against the Lord. This is really interesting kind of dialogue that they're sharing. They're saying, your circumstances aren't what you're wrestling against. Your battle is with the Lord. You know, in the New Testament, we say we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but we wrestle against principalities, powers, things that are unseen, right? So in this world, when it comes to unity issues in a church, a lot of times it's that stupid pastor. If he wasn't such a stupid pastor and he was a smart pastor, then we would do this. He's just a pastor. And that's very funny. A little joke just came into my mind. And then I thought, no, I can't say it. So I'm not going to say it because I'm saved now. But now that I vented that, now I can focus back on the reality. So we often think in this box of unity that it's the people that are irritating us that are the real issue. And if we just vacate their premises and go to a new group or a new people, they're going to be perfect until we find new irritants. And because in reality, we're not wrestling against that pastor or some other person. We're really wrestling with spiritual realities, selfishness, pride, all the evil junk that comes, and how Satan takes words through demonic impressions and influences. They magnify your flesh and the weaknesses in your flesh. And when Christians don't have muscles to resist, or they don't have muscles to submit to God, then he doesn't flee. And he's just there, and the devil's just eating their lunch, whispering junk and twisting everything they see and hear. And so they're now they believe they're wrestling against people or something else in the natural, and they're not. Those are just natural things. And so I believe when we read this, he's pointing out, guys, it's not me, Moses. It's not Aaron. Your problem is you don't like God. You've been living for 400 years in Egypt. Your gods you're familiar with wear weird animal heads. Some of you don't get that. Do you get that? You get that? Okay, Egypt. And stuff like that. And it's like, but I'm a God who is the living God. And I'm not pictured by these weird statues and stuff. I'm not an idol. I'm the living God. And I want to teach you how to relate to me. And they just didn't like that. And so we move on, and then we see some other things here. So let's go verse, let's skip over to, let's do 13. Verse 13, it says this, that it was that quail came up at evening and covered the campground. And in the morning, there was a dew that laid all around the camp. And when the layer of dew lifted, there on the surface of the wilderness was a small round substance as fine as frost on the ground. And when the children of Israel saw this, they said to one another, "What is it? What is it?" Because they didn't know what it was. What is it? So they would have known what the quail was, right? Oh, that's a quail. But then when they look at this, they're like, "What is it?" And all of us would have said that. What is that? This is crazy. And so then what did they name it? They named it. What is it? Isn't that great? This should be a kid's name, Manna. And they'd be like, "Why'd you name your kid Manna?" Because when we first saw this kid pop out of the womb, we went, "What is it?" So we named him Manna. Or in Hispanic language, it would be Manny. No, that's not right, right? No, okay, it's not right. Esme is like, "That is a dumb joke. Don't say that joke ever again." And I'm going to go here first. Okay, pause the rest of the message. Like, I even have a third point. I have no idea what the next point is. But this is what's highlighting to me. In this growing the muscles of prayer, I think this is a beautiful thing. And actually, this came up in a conversation with a pastor friend of mine in southern Missouri. He was talking about how we pray to the Lord, and then he gives us answers that we don't recognize. That's this right here. Think about what they just had been praying for or complaining about. "God, I want you to give us whatever is going to sustain us." Oh, wait a minute. I remember what you used in the past to sustain us. Sourdough or bread. We want some bread. And we recognize it from our time in Egypt. It looks just like this in the shape of Anubis. And we just want this bread. And so God hears their prayer and he says through Moses, "I'm going to answer your prayer." When the answer comes, they go, "What is that?" Rhetorically, God is saying, "It's your answer. It's your answer." And they're thinking, "Yeah, okay, but what do we do with it?" We all should have just been there and went, "Duh." If you really did know the God you were trying to be trained to relate to, you would understand that when you pray, he does hear you. When you pray, it doesn't fall on deaf ears. He actually hears, and he will move heaven and earth to answer your prayers. Why? Because if you knock, the door's going to be opened. If you seek, you will find. This is the reality of people who are Christians. You have permission to knock and to seek. But it's the enemy of our souls, and it's our track record of living in sin that are teaching us a different idea, which is, well, you can pray, and you can pray, and you can pray, but who knows if God's going to answer. And when he does answer, it might not be what you really asked for. It's going to be something else. That's not what's happening here. God is doing exactly what God has always done. He doesn't change. When his people cry out to him and he moves heaven and earth to answer their prayers, he gives us not just what we ask for, he gives us abundantly more. That's right. Not just what we said with our mouth or what we've complained with our heart. He says, "Okay, I hear what you request. I'm going to answer that, but I'm going to answer the 10 other things tied to that that you don't even know how to ask, but you are aching for because you're in the middle of a desert. If you haven't noticed, you're in the desert and you don't need just bread. You need supernatural sustaining power so you don't waste away and that you can do. If I gave you just bread, you would have sugar highs and crashes and then you die in the desert. You need something even bigger and better than just earthly bread. You need a new thing that's never been done before. Manna." Yeah. And they go, "What is it?" Your answer for idiots. It's your prayers being answered. And you can boil it or you can bake it. But I'll tell you, it's angel food. And this is what happened. For 40 years, the answer to their prayer sustained them in a desert. For 40 years, every single day, their little complaints turned into a 40-year marathon of God saying, I will do abundantly more and beyond what you could ever ask for. I'm going to give you strength that keeps you disease-free. Come on. These Israelites were disease-free as long as they walked in obedience to the Lord and did what he commanded. They gathered just enough for that day, except for the last. Then they gathered twice as much. And he says, I'm testing you to see if you follow me. And the benefits from just believing, I hear your prayers and answer your prayers, is I'm going to keep you disease-free. I'm going to give you strength in the middle of the desert so you're going to overcome even your enemies. And as an extra bonus, your shoes aren't going to wear out. Your clothes aren't going to wear out. You won't have to go to TJ Maxx for one, even one time the entire 40, you know. Oh, my gosh, this is amazing. Some of us, I think, struggle in these areas of prayer and the Word of God, though. We'll read the Bible, and God has given us an answer, but we're going, but what is it? What's the answer, really? No, it's right there in the Bible. Yeah, I see that, but I'm looking for the real answer. That's still the what is it? And God says, no, if you just did this, everything you have prayed about is going to be supplied. This is your bread, but even more that you don't know how to ask. So when, like the Bible says, forgive, and there's all these things that are contingent upon our forgiveness of someone, he says, you're going to no longer have the poison of bitterness inside of you. You're going to be free. And when you go to Matthew 18 and you see all the beauty of freedom, and you're giving someone that freedom that God first gave to you, something changes in you. It is so much bigger than just, oh, I don't have to carry this weight anymore. He's going to bless your physical body. He's going to bless your mind. And all your prayers are going to be like direct line right to heaven. And this is amazing. But a lot of times we look at it and we go, yeah, okay, I get that. But that doesn't really answer my problem. I really need the Bible to tell me how to do. But the Bible is real simple and straightforward, isn't it? All of us at one time or another come face to face with what God commands, and we either dismiss it or we reject it entirely or we shift it to form what we interpret it as. And all of that is doing harm to the Bible. That's like telling God, I'm going to take what you've given me, your word from heaven. I'm going to just change it all around and do what I want to do with it. And the result for them when they took the manna and they did what they wanted, they held on more than what they should and didn't listen to what God inspired. Then there was worms the next day. It was nasty and rotted. So the challenge for us in the Bible is we have got to take the word of God and we have got to let the word of God do the work of the word of God. And you got to do it every day. Why? Because you don't have enough from today's portion for tomorrow. So if you're looking for wisdom that comes from above, it's embodied in the Bible. And if after looking at the Bible, you go, yeah, it's just, I'm not feeling it. Remember this story about what is it? And don't discredit the manna. Don't discredit the answers that are in the Word of God. Instead, take those little instructions that seem unrelated to whatever issue you might be dealing with and just say, okay, if I'm not walking in total obedience to this, then how about I start there? Let's just start there. In this room, you might have provision issues. Well, do you tithe? Ooh, Pastor, that's not this Sunday. You don't go there. I know. I'm note free, so I might go anywhere, guys. So I might go anywhere. I'm just telling you, when we complain about stuff, God, I want you to provide. I want you to do. But you're not doing the things that the Bible says to do, which is Proverbs tells us to honor him with the first of our produce. And the principle that was laid out before the law and after it was affirmed was a tenth. That's a tithe. This is not even giving. This isn't just other sacrifices and offerings. This is just the one that says, I am going to put my money where my mouth is. If my mouth calls you Lord, I'm going to put my money there too. Lord, I'm going to honor you with tithing. You know, the funny thing is I've dealt with people, and not too long ago, there was a couple, and it just so happened that I did a checkup on them. I don't do this often, but they were going through some crisis, and I was checking up, and I just wanted to see if everything was copacetic in their walk with the Lord. And I realized, okay, this couple has not tithed for over a year. And they've complained to me almost on a regular basis how they never have enough, they never do enough, they can never meet their budgets and all these different things. And I'm going, well, they're undisciplined in all of those areas, but it's no surprise they're not disciplined even in honoring the Lord. So when it comes to budgeting and it comes to giving, they are so hand in glove. I look at all of this and I think they don't realize that just doing a simple practice of honoring the Lord opens up the floodgates of heaven for God to say, you give me and trust me and you take this as a discipline where I'm going to give consistently. I'm looking at that and I'm not legalistic. I'm looking at it saying, I see you not just giving me lip service, you really believe. And then God says, I just can't wait to bless you. And he is not going to ever bless you in a correlated way. You give 10%, I'm going to give you 10%. No, God's math is broken. You give him 10% and he just does whatever the heck he wants to do. He'll give you a house. He'll give you a car. He'll give you something else. He'll give you triplets. Somebody needed to know that. And I just look at this. This is the way God does math. And it's impressive. But the reality is we can look at scripture and say, but I want the manna from heaven to tell me how to do something that I'm wanting to do. Do you remember a story? I saw this guy was walking in the south. And as he's walking down this dirt road, he comes to a crisscross of roads like this. And he sees this lady in the middle of the road and she's taking something and she's throwing it up in the air. And she's doing this over and over again. As he's getting closer, he's seeing her do this thing. And then he sees she's throwing a stick up in the air and letting it drop. And then she does like this. And then she throws it up again. And he says, ma'am, what are you doing? And she goes, oh, it's nothing. He goes, no, seriously, I've been watching you do this the whole time I'm walking up closer. What in the world are you doing? And her answer was, he goes, well, you might think it's crazy, but I'm asking the Lord to show me which way to go, this way or that way, and I keep throwing it up, and it lands, and it's pointing this direction, but I want to go that way. And I think this is the reality for us. We pray, and we go to the Word of God, and the Word of God says, just do this, and we're like, yeah, let's keep asking until we find another answer. And so the Word of God, prayer, and unity are all things that I see are really tied up in Exodus 16. How do I know that? Well, if we read through all of this, what we see here is we see they first groaned and complained against the people that were in their life because the situation was bad. Amen? Anybody ever relate to that? The second thing that we see is they totally missed the manna from heaven as the answers to their prayer. They missed the reality that God was testing them if they would do what he commands them to do. And so in our Christian life today, I believe it is not more complicated than this. God wants you to know his word because it's only by knowing his word that you're going to live in a desert. You got to know his word. And that's not enough. You also have to pray. And you've got to pray and you got to pray and have faith when you pray because that's the way it's supposed to be for Christians. But then you're not all by yourself. You're in a tribe. You're in a tribe of Christians. You're the family of God. You got to stop being such a pill with your auntie and your uncle or your sister in the Lord or your brother in the Lord. You got to forgive. You got to look past that stuff. You got to embrace them, warts and all. You got to love them. And if there is division, let it not be division where God is not at the center. Let it be a division on an issue where someone refuses to come around the Lord. It's the only time that God sanctions division. He's always got to be at the center of it. That's why it starts with word and prayer. But then that unity has to be built around him. When we walk in the light as he's in the light, we have fellowship with one another. So all of this comes to a close. I'm done. this is great. Boy, oh boy. I was reminded of the miracles that I have read about, just awesome things that God has done in the past. And then I compare them to the things that he's done in my life. And this is just what I've experienced so far. I think the analogy of us in a desert is so appropriate right now. If you're here in this room and this desert has been the thing that's been distracting you, I think this kind of a message is good for you to hear. I don't want you to get distracted by the desert. The desert for you might be the situation globally, maybe even in your own private world. It could be very miserable at times. The desert isn't really the issue. I know with my wife and I, we've been praying more and more about some things. And yesterday I was praying and Petrea was out partying with some of you girls. And Petrea was out partying and Paige was doing work and I was at home with the dog and my guitar and the Lord. And I was singing this old song about fear not, for I am with you, says the Lord. Fear not, for I'm with you, fear not. I turned into reggae, fear not. And I was like all dancing. I was like all kinds of hippie for a second, island hippie. And tears began to flow. And I've been sitting there. I was sitting there and it was probably, I think I wore that little refrain out over and over again. And it was the Holy Spirit was just ministering in that time. And I can't get away from this reality. We're in a desert, and if you feel like that, you might be missing that God is with you. Changes everything. It doesn't matter that you're in a desert. If God's with you, the desert can flower and bloom. If God's with you, you get manna every day. Your shoes don't wear out. It's kind of cool. I bet other people would be jealous and want to be in the desert with you, with God. So if you're in a place that's very difficult and it feels dry or feels empty, maybe you just need to recognize that you're a child of God and that God is with you. And when he's with you, I felt this coming in my spirit over the weekend that you can do all things through Christ. With that word of God every day, with prayer, with unity of the believers, there is nothing that will prevail against the church. The gates of hell will not prevail against a church that's unified around prayer and the word of God. A relationship with Jesus. Boy, it's so good. I want to challenge you to do something with me. If you want to stand with me in prayer about this manna from heaven being something that you want to take a reality of this a little bit more for yourself, like, okay, Ben, I want to experience prayer on a whole new level. I want to experience a word of God on a whole new level. And I want to experience unity in the saints on a whole new level because I want to thrive in the middle of a desert. I don't want to be overcome with an evil world or all kinds of junk that's coming. I want to be a superstar because of manna, you know? I believe God's doing something in your life. And I just want to pray with you about it. So here's the prayer. Here's the altar call. If you're in a desert time and you need manna, I want you to stand. If that's you and you get it, you're like, that's me. I need manna. I want to know if that's you. Thank you for standing, bold ones. Because sometimes it can be embarrassing, right? Because you think no one else understands what a desert time is like. All of us know what a desert time is like. And if you're not in one right now, you just got out of one or you're about to go in one, okay? I mean, deserts are deserts. And praise the Lord. In my mind, I just see this right now. If you're in that desert spot, you're not alone. And I want you to know this physically. If you're the body of Christ, you're the visible church, go find these folks that are your brothers and sisters in Christ. I want you to put your hand on their shoulder and we're going to pray over them.
The Lord is just putting on my heart the testimony of what you did, what you preached today. Mm. Can I share that really quick?
Before we go into prayer? Yeah. Okay, Ashley's such a sweetheart, and she's really got something that affirms what the Lord's been doing. So go ahead and share what's on your heart.
So I guess it would be 8 years ago. I think I know why the Lord put this message on your heart, because You wanted to go back to the desert.
Ooh.
8 years ago, you tried. The desert in Texas, the desert in California. But instead, you went to Half Moon Lake. For a weekend, he went with the word and prayer to my parents' cabin. Yeah. He wanted so bad, guys, to go back to where God had been. It was justified. There was family there. There was love there. There was history. But instead, he went to the word. He went in prayer. And Wisconsin was the manna. Green Bay was the manna. What is it? What is it?
What is it?
And then there was the unity here of the family that gathered together in that cold warehouse. Some of you don't remember that, but that's where things started. Was he came back out of that weekend, out of prayer, out of the word, and there was a group of people, the body, that were ready to walk with him. And this is what is birthed. So he's walking evidence of what he preached this morning. And what he preached this morning is the roots of what he pressed into that felt that struggle of, but Lord, throw up the stick. Mm-hmm. And so I just wanted to share that as those of you that are heeding that call that he offered this morning, the roots of that are here. The Lord has done that. He's birthed that. And when you have one that walks in obedience, and two, and three, and four, that creates that unity in the Spirit. And the Lord has moved. You're now walking in a path with others that have walked this before. And there's power in that.
Yeah.
There's authority in that. And so we have the privilege of that. We have the privilege of coming into that. And that is a blessing that is not easy to find today in the world. And so I'm not trying to elevate Pastor Ben, but yet he did. He listened to the Lord. And now we have the blessing of that. And there were many that also were doing that same thing on their knees with the word and in prayer coming around him.
Yeah.
And many of you are here today that were part of that. And so I'm just so grateful to the Lord for that. And I'm grateful for that revelation because I did not want to come up here. But I could feel that, like, the Lord was like, no, don't forget.
Wow.
Remember that altar that was made. An altar was made.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And we get to look back, like Isaiah said, don't forget to look back on the highway by which you came and the altars that were there. And so we look back at that altar 8 years ago and all that God has done since. And then those of you in this room today that are able to build an altar because of men and women who got on their face before the Lord and said, what is the way, Lord? What is it?
Yeah.
And they listened and they went into the hard place and trusted him. And so I'm just grateful, Lord. I just thank you, Father. Thank you for that. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your goodness, God. Thank you that you go before us and you've come behind us. Thank you for your favor over this place. You are a good and mighty God. Your faithfulness is never ending from generation to generation to generation. And this church is a body that is full of generations that have poured in, that are being raised up, that are being discipled, and that are going to pour out for generation after generation. That's how your goodness works, God. That's how your love works, God. Thank you for your faithfulness over Visible Church. We love you, Lord. And we thank you for Pastor Ben. We thank you for the leaders, all of those that have been here from the beginning. Thank you, Jesus.
Man, oh man. Well, we're going to pray for everyone that is standing there with people's hands on your shoulders. And I believe that the Lord is going to meet you in this desert time. I believe that the Holy Spirit has spoken it. And when God begins to speak those things, let's just take it as it's done. He said it. It's done. It's a reality. And man, we are going to accept that manna from heaven. And the word of God is going to come alive to you. If you're standing there and you feel those arms around you and hands on your shoulders, just know the Holy Spirit is saying the word of God is going to come alive. You're going to have boldness to obey it. You can do it. And your prayer life, you're going to be able to see how the Holy Spirit is answering your prayers. God is hearing and he's going to answer your prayers. And you just need to know that you're not alone. That's why there's people around you. And with God and with your family of believers, you can do all things. I'm just telling you, the Holy Spirit has said you're going to be more than a conqueror. Man, this is going to be a good season in your life. You will look back at this time in your life, and you're going to have testimony upon testimony. You're going to have answered prayers, and you're going to have, something to share from this time forward. So in Jesus' name, we come to you right now. Father God, you said knock, you said seek, and doors would be open and you would allow us to find you. So right now we are seeking for the hem of your garment. We want to touch the very hem of your garment. Lord Jesus, come and deliver fresh manna from heaven for every single person that says, I feel I'm in a desert. Lord, meet with them right now. Wake up the Bible in their hearts. Remind them of scriptures and promises. Remind them of the truth. Lord, show them what it is that you command and give them boldness to walk in obedience to it right now. Lord, we say yes and amen to your word. And Father, we ask that the windows of heaven be opened up, that the prayers that they are praying would be answered in very real ways. Lord, come and answer their prayers. Praise you, Jesus. And I just thank you for knitting hearts together right now. We're family. So Lord, every one of these people, they have a place in your family. They have a place in your family. Knit their hearts together with their brothers and sisters so they don't walk alone in the desert times. In Jesus' name we pray all this. Oh, praise God. Praise God. Man, I just felt two people were highlighted to me. And I'm just going to call it out and share just a little bit that I see in my heart. First is, I don't remember the gentleman's name. I think he's even sitting down right there behind Mike and Erica. Joel? Is that right? Is it Joel? What was it?
Joe.
Stand up, Joe, would you? That way people don't think I'm just making you up in my mind. Look at that. That's a real person right there. That's Joe. And for whatever reason, the words that are coming to my mind are a man of faith, and I see prophetic giftings, and I feel like the Holy Spirit also highlighted you've been a sojourner, and that time is over. I think those three things. And so I looked over at you, and it was like the Holy Spirit put a spotlight and said, this is a man that I'm teaching, or a man filled with that gift of faith, and there's a prophetic ministry that the Lord is birthing, or that maybe you already have. I have no idea. But I see those two things, and I sense that the Holy Spirit highlighted you as a sojourner. And the first impression I got was you were looking for your place, and you weren't there yet. And I felt like the Holy Spirit had said, oh no, he's finding his place. I have his place for him. And so I just bless you in Jesus' name. I know that the Lord has marked you for a reason. I know that it is in his hands and he will direct your steps. So Lord, if this is from you, then you affirm this word in that heart. God, you illustrate it in this life. Lord, let that prophetic flow, let that sense of gifting flow. Lord, the things you've put inside him, birth it and grow it, Lord. Let him see it. Lord, I ask for an increase in faith. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. And then I felt like the Holy Spirit highlighted Nate and Chloe, right? Nathan. I felt like the Holy Spirit highlighted you two. I like this couple, by the way, but that's not why I'm highlighting you right now. I felt like the Holy Spirit said you have unspoken desires that have been pent up for a long time. This is for you as a couple too. I think both of you have some pent up desires and dreams that the Holy Spirit wanted you to know that He is giving you the desires of your dreams. And I felt like that psalm that says, when you delight yourself in the Lord, He gives you the desires of your heart. I feel like you two are embodying that promise in Scripture. And you just need to know that the Holy Spirit is favoring you, and not because you are awesome, but because He's highlighted you to demonstrate that when you delight yourself in Him, He's going to give you the desires of your heart. But the key that I saw was that it's almost like you haven't given yourself permission to really want those things out loud almost, or to say them out louder. You know, it's like, it might be an unspoken something in your marriage and in your life together. It's always been, I don't know, but I'll just tell you, the Lord knows. And He's calling it out today that there's coming a season where those dreams, you're going to see He's bringing them about. I'm talking about some celebration in the future. Some celebration in the future. And I also feel like I should just warn you too, dreams come with responsibilities. But God knows what you can handle. And I think that's beautiful. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, I hope the Holy Spirit encouraged you in some form or another. If not, well, at least there's food. So let me give you some instructions about what's going to happen here. The goal is to be ready to eat in about 15 minutes. And if you had totally missed the fact that there's Love Feast today, don't waste your money going to McDonald's. Oh my gosh. The food that is over there is so great, you might get saved. So stay, eat food. You don't have to go get stuff. There's plenty here. And what I need is I'm going to need some people to help in that room. Petrea is going to be in there to set up the buffet table in the children's church. But then I need some people here to help me play school.
Oh, bless His name.